Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Number 2 of 3, we just finished Kip Gross. The next one after this one will be Draft Nation out of Pittsburgh. And this is the show that just keeps on picking steam. There are so many people. I'm going to get to your questions. It is the American Sports History Podcast out of Cleveland, Ohio, with a brother, a mentor, and a friend of me, Peter Ray. Just to let you know, next week's an archive show. He's taking a vacation with Alice and his son. They're heading out to Washington, D.C. So we will keep the show with an archive. He never takes a vacation, this guy. But he's taking one next week. And we will wish him a safe trip there. Here's truly Mark Mancini, producing 2,500 miles to the west in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms. Wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of him, less of me. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Peter, it's the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And just before I let your you know this, is this guest coming with you to D.C. next week? Because it's Alice's best guest.
Hi, Mark. I'm doing well. I have a YouTube channel. It's my name, Peter J. Rea. And you're absolutely right. Tonight's guest played Major League Baseball from 1971 to 1981. He's tied for 79th all-time with Dave Collins' all-time stolen base leaders. He played for the Chicago Cubs, Oakland A's, L.A. Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, won 2 World Series with the Oakland A's in 1973 and 74, 395 career stolen bases, 2-time American League stolen base leader, 1974 and 76, more than 1,000 hits, first Oakland A's designated hitter, won the National League pennant in 1978 with the Dodgers, 3 times led the American League in total chances per game, twice in putouts, once in assists from the outfield on double plays. And you're absolutely right, tonight's guest for the 30th time, my dear wife Alice's favorite podcast guest, welcome to the show, the starting center fielder and leadoff hitter for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s, Mr. Bill North.
Hey, Peter. I'd love to be amongst such illustrious company as you and Mark.
Oh, well, it's a gift to be with you. Bill, you and Mark, your talk with Andy Dolich, and I was thinking, like, I believe he said in your show last week that there's a 50-50 chance that the A's will stay in Oakland. And with that in mind, I think these shows we do every 2 weeks are really important in that effort, because you guys won 3 of the 4 Oakland A's World Series in their history. And, you know, so keeping the A's in Oakland is so important. So I think these shows we're doing our part to try to keep the A's in Oakland, because, you know, if they move to Las Vegas, and then they have the Las Vegas A's Hall of Fame, that's not going to be so great for the guys, and the reunions won't be so great. And the fans, of course, unless they're national old guys who, like me, who remember you guys. But so we got to keep doing these shows to keep in that regard.
Yeah, as long as I'm on the right side of the ground, you know, I'm here with you, Peter. So,
yeah, you've so far on your show with Mark Mancini, True North Podcast, you've had Dusty Baker, Warren Brewster, Gene Tennis, Joe Rudy, Willie Horton, Deshaun Goldson, Steve Garvey, Ferguson Jenkins, Billy Williams, Herb Washington, Dave Newhouse, Ted Kubiak, Darrell Evans 4 times, Raleigh Fingers, Darryl Knowles, Gary Matthews, Brian Hunter, Lee Lacy 3 times, Mark McLemore 2 times, and Andy Dolich. So those are amazing, wonderful shows that you've done so far.
Shoot, hey, keep them cards and letters coming.
and, you know, I was thinking about how, yeah, it's so important to keep doing these shows to remember the Oakland A's from the early 70s that – I mean, one of the greatest teams of all time, dynasties of all time, and in the 70s era itself, and all the guys who are gone, who can't, Bill, you have to speak for them, all the guys like Dick Williams, Catfish Hunter, Vida Blue, Paul Lindblad, Sal Bando, Ray Fossey, Claude L. Washington, Darren Johnson, Angel Manguel, Jesus Salou, and Billy Conigliaro. Not to mention the creator and destroyer of the Oakland A's, Charlie Finley. So it's important for you to keep talking, to keep for these guys who can't talk for themselves.
Hey, you know what? Older you get, more people around you die. I've noticed that. But those guys that you named were good people, and God rest them. It's sad to see time catch up with so many people.
This past 2 weeks I watched the video 1973 World Series Game 7, and it's mostly video. At the very end it breaks off into it's just radio. You guys won Game 7 to clinch the series 5-2. Ken Holtzman against John Matlack. Holtzman had a double and scored on a home run by Bert Campaneris. Then Reggie had a two-run home run, was the MVP. Gene Tennis ended up with 11 walks in the series, tied Babe Ruth. Wayne Garrett struck out 11 times, tied Eddie Matthews from the 58 World Series, broken by Willie Wilson in 1980. Let's see, Lou Rawls sang the national anthem at Candlestick Park for the San Francisco 49ers NFL game, and then took a helicopter to Oakland and sang the national anthem there before the game.
Isn't that something? Yeah. I was playing him the other day.
Okay.
Come on, man. When I went to college, I had paid $3.33 for that album. It was, hey, he's still a favorite of mine.
Now, during the game, they were talking about how Ken Suarez was the only American leaguer to choke the bat as high as Felix Mayan. In the bottom of the first, Bert Campaneris was arguing a call with the umpire, and Kurt Gowdy wondered how the umpire's Spanish was. And then they quoted Monty Moore quoted Reggie Jackson as saying Nolan Ryan was quicker than instant coffee.
Mm-hmm. And also, everybody likes ice cream, but don't nobody want a whole truckload. Nolan Ryan was a truckload.
And in the game, let's see, at the start of that game seven, Reggie was in center, made a diving catch coming in. Tony Kubek called it a whale of a catch. Bottom of the second, Jesus Alou, he was the third Alou brother to play for the A's in 3 years, Maddie, Felipe, and Jesus. And in Game 7 of the 72 World Series, Maddie Alou started in right, and in Game 7 of the 73 World Series, it was Jesus Alou in right. So how about that?
Alou brothers, they could play.
The Alou brothers, yeah, that was cool. Now another moment. Don Hahn was at first. John Matlack had put down a bunt. Sal Bando was charging and got the ball through to second. They got a double play. Tremendous play by, Bando, and I don't know who covered second. And
Dick Green, probably.
Dick Green, and then over to Darren Johnson. Then later, at the bottom of the third, Ken Holtzman had the double. He was batting 1,000 with two doubles. Campaneris had the two-run home run. There was bedlam. Charlie Finley with a green jacket waving an A's pennant. I thought, you know, they don't have pennants anymore. Do you ever see pennants anymore?
No. I don't even have any. I might have a couple, yeah.
Those were popular in the old days.
Yeah, pennants.
Yeah, they had the A's wives were waving pennants during the World Series. Later on, Joe Rudy had a single. Reggie hit a home run, and it was 4-0 A's. Bedlam, and Reggie jumped on home plate. There were fans throwing ribbons on the field. They mentioned that Reggie's nickname was Buck.
Yep. amongst other things. There were some not so kind. Yeah.
Now, early in the game, Vic D'Avelio pinch hit for Jesus Salou, and Dick Williams was thinking defense, so he ended up putting D'Avelio in center, moving Reggie to right. Later in the game, Felix Mion hit a fly ball. Reggie made a great catch in foul territory. They mentioned that Cleon Jones, Tommy Adjei, and Blue Moon Odom were all from Mobile, Alabama. How about that?
Blue Moon was from Macon, Georgia.
Oh, Macon, Georgia. All right, I got that wrong. Okay. Sorry about that. In the sixth inning, Kurt Gowdy had a they showed Ken Holtzman. Kurt Gowdy says, "I wonder who his barber is." And Monty Moore says, "Or was." Because, of course, that era, guys were growing their hair out. And they also talked about how Pete Rose was fined $300 for throwing balls into the stands, foul balls, and Reggie was throwing balls. Did you ever get fined for throwing a ball in the stands?
Nope.
Well, you're playing center. Maybe. No foul balls in the center.
They didn't let you do that because of liability back in those days. Now they fill the stands with balls.
So later in the seventh, they had – go ahead.
Every foul ball they throw in there.
Uh-huh.
Dick
Williams continued to make changes. He put Fossey in at catcher, Tennis at first. Aaron Johnson was out. Raleigh Fingers tied Clem Labine for 12 World Series relief appearances. And then Kurt Gowdy was talking about – he says, when Fingers get – Raleigh Fingers got ahead, Bando – would come over and stay on him. He said Raleigh Fingers was better with a one-run lead than a three- or four-run lead.
Oh, yeah. And come in the seventh inning, threw over 100 innings a few years in relief. Yep. Yeah.
Later in the game, go ahead.
Go ahead.
A small parachute landed. Huh?
Bases could be loaded. In the seventh inning, he'd come in and shut him out the rest of the way. Yeah. That was when closers threw more than one inning. Yeah.
A parachute landed on the field during the game, like a 6 feet diameter. Ken Boswell tied a World Series record, three pinch hits. And they mentioned how Dusty Rhodes hit three in the 54 World Series. They had to wake him up to pinch hit. Hit a home run against Cleveland. In the seventh, Casey Stengel was walking out or maybe beat the crowd, avoid bedlam. He could see the A's were going to win. It was Audrey Donatelli's last game as an umpire. Later in the end, Catfish Hunter was warming up in the bullpen. A streamer wrapped around him, fans threw on the field. Bottom of the ninth was 5-1 A's, fans going crazy. And Gene Tennis bobbled a ball, scored a run, and the fans came on the field, thought it was over. And then they had to tell him to get him off the field. And then there was a short fly to left field caught by Bert Campanaris. And that was it. Any thoughts, Bill, on the 73 World Series Game 7?
We won. I got a ring for it, but I didn't get to play because I was hurt.
Yep.
And it was made me sad. But, you know, the good Lord let me go to another one the next year. And we won that one. What a great thing. Yeah.
In this book by Jason Turbo, Dynastic, Bombastic, Reggie, Raleigh, Catfish, and Charlie Finley's Swinging A's, near the end they got player biographies, and they said regarding Billy North, known among the A's as Paperboy for the stack of periodicals he brought with him on airplanes. Bill North was among the best read and sharpest members of the team.
Me?
You.
Yeah, shit. Hey, well, I read a lot of papers, you can bet that. I was a reader, still am. Yeah. I hate that print media is going out of business. Yeah. Now you get everything. You know, you had to read about the game the next day when you played a game. You had to read about it in the paper the next day. Now they go inning to inning, out to out.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, they'll tell on you in a minute now.
You're quoted in the book as saying, quote, "I was 10 years old, a little black kid hitting rocks in my backyard in Seattle, and I said to my brother, I want to play in the World Series. I was obsessed with baseball, and I got to play in the World Series. You tell me, is this not a wonderful life?"
Wonderful life. Had a lot of fun and met a lot of people, and it was good. And, you know, being blind in one eye and never thinking about it till after I was out of the game, that, but it, you know, and the thing I liked the most is that they ran me out there every day on one of the greatest teams of all time. Yeah. Something happened, right?
Yeah, that's what I was telling you. I saw a guy at the grocery store wearing an A's cap because of you guys winning three World Series and being so cool and having mustaches. And he's a local guy. He'd never lived in Oakland, but he's just like me. He remembers you guys when he was young. In this book by Jason Turbow, I'm reading the part in the 72 World Series. Game 4 was really a fascinating. Near the end of the game, the A's won to go up 3-1 in the series, and they there were three pinch hits by the A's in the ninth. Don Mincher, Gonzalo Marquez, and Angel Mangual. And then they were going crazy, and it was a one-run game. Gene Tennis at third, and Angel Mangual pinch hitting. He ended up Clay Carroll on the mound, and Dick Williams went over to talk to Mangual. Then he talked to Irv Noren, the third base coach, and he put in Blue Moon Odom to pinch run at first. And he went over to talk to him. Meanwhile, Clay Carroll's just standing out there. It kind of reminded me of Mike Marshall when their fans threw garbage on the field, and he stood out here. Carroll probably should have thrown a warm-up pitch because it was such a long delay. But anyway, he didn't. And it was one out, infield in, and Angel Mangual hit the first pitch past Joe Morgan to win the game.
Way to go, Angel. That was one of my favorite people, too. What a wonderful man. Yep.
What
yep.
do you think?
Hey.
But you remember that when Dick Williams went out to talk to all these people, the Mangual, Noren, and Blue Moon, and held up the game. Okay,
yeah.
I thought that was pretty
Dick
good.
Dick Williams always had a plan. He controlled the game. You can bet that. And when you used to see us play the Baltimore Orioles, that was a contest between managers. You know, Earl Weaver and Dick Williams were the same kind of manager, and they could play. You know, we did a little bit more with moving the game, and Earl Weaver used to sit there and wait for that 3-run home run. Yeah, toughest thing I ever had to do though was play Baltimore.
In the 72 World Series, Game 5, it was a crazy ending. It was a one-run game, and Blue Moon Odom, pinch running, tried to score on a foul fly ball, and Joe Morgan had threw a perfect strike to get him at the plate to end the game.
Hey, they lost anyway.
So that was actually the A's were up 3-1. They lost the next two, the one in Oakland and the first in Cincinnati. Gene Tennis was having trouble throwing out base stealers. He had 11 out of 13 guys stole on him. And so there was and actually he'd been hitting a lot, and there was a death threats against him. And then he ended up having like Secret Service guys said he was in a bulletproof town car. He entered the hotel through back entrances and service elevators. Agents were stationed outside his door. Room service was checked. Waiters were frisked. And Gina Tennis said, "I'm not going to lie, it was kind of cool."
I know, I got death threats one time, and I had an FBI guy riding in my car with me for about a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then I decided to defend myself. Because I was too apparent. If somebody wanted to get me, they could, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Yeah, the,
I didn't think I was that important to be getting death threats.
Well, you were. And now, the thing is, Mike Epstein wasn't hitting, and Gene Tennis was having trouble throwing out runners. So Dick Williams decided to put Tennis at first at the end of the series, take Epstein out, and put Dave Duncan, who had a good arm behind the plate. So Gene Tennis was learning how to play first base in the clubhouse before game 6 or 7. So that was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's see.
They would put him at first base late in the game and bring Ray Fosse in too.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that worked out in the end. Duncan threw out Joe Morgan and later in the series, and then the Reds stopped running. Let's see. Yeah. Now at the end of Game 7, it was Raleigh Fingers was on the mound. He had two outs, a one-run game. He hit Daryl Chaney. Dick Williams came out to the mound, was furious, wanted to take him out, put in Vita Blue, and Dave Duncan came out and said, "I know what you're going to do. Don't do it. Raleigh is throwing as good as I've ever seen. He can get Pete Rose." And so Dick Williams glanced at Fingers, considered the possibility, wondered if he was making the biggest mistake of his life, and left the right-hander in. And Fingers got Rose on a fly ball to Joe Rudy, and that was it. A's had won their first World Series. Charlie Finley promised all the players a life-size replica of the World Series trophy, so that was pretty good. And
we had to pay for them.
Okay.
73 cost $700, and 74 cost $900.
Ooh!
But I still have them right here. So,
talk about something cool. What's cooler than a World Series trophy?
A World Series ring.
Gene Tennis was MVP of the 72 World Series. He said his slugging percentage broke Babe Ruth's World Series mark of 900. He hit a slugging percentage of 913. Now, on the way home, Charlie Finley got into an incident with Dave Duncan on the plane, and Duncan got traded for Ray Fosse. And then later he berated Mike Epstein, whom he also traded. Later at this celebration, Charlie Finley held up a Reds batting helmet, spoils of the defeated. I thought, oh, they don't do that anymore, hold up the opposing team's helmet.
No, they just dance on the field now after they win. And I know Seattle does that. That to me is that's not good protocol. You know, dancing on another team's field after you won a game.
Mm-hmm.
Back in my day, there'd be a whole bunch of people with bruises from that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
Now, Vida Blue did not attend the parade, and then he said, "Oh, he wished he had gone." And then, but later during the off season, he went to a banquet invited by Charlie Finley. Mike Epstein got traded during the off season. He had gotten into a fight with Reggie, and then he had a fit when they picked up Orlando Cepeda, and also had conflict with Charlie Finley. Now, here's a good quote. Charlie Finley's second significant off-season move had more lasting repercussions. The owner desperately sought somebody to lock down center field, allowing Reggie Jackson to slide back to his natural position in right field. He got his guy on November 21st, sending reliever Bob Locker to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for a fleet-footed 24-year-old Billy North. As far as Dick Williams was concerned, any equation that put Angel Mangual on the bench was okay by him.
Well, I remember that 73 when he gave me the job. Angel had missed the cutoff, man. It cost us a game. And Dick Williams came in. We were playing Baltimore. He came in and he turned over the food table and said, "Ain't nobody eating in here tonight." And he walked by my locker and he said, "In my office." And I had just scored a run to go ahead, and we ended up losing in the bottom of the night. And he said, "In my office." And he told me, "You got the job here until you fall flat on your face." I thank him for that. He's one of my favorite managers, if not the favorite manager I ever had. And he gave me my job. And I went on to play every day for quite a while. So that was pretty good. Yeah.
That's tremendous. I also watched baseball seasons 1969. The Mets beat the Orioles in 5 games. Tom Seaver, Jerry Kuzman, Cleon Jones, Tommy Agee, Ron Swoboda, Gil Hodges, Ed Cranepool, Mike Cuellar, Dave McNally, Jim Palmer, Frank Robinson, Boog Powell, Brooks Robinson, Yahoo, God bless him, he just passed away. The league split into two divisions, expansion teams Montreal Expos, San Diego Padres, Kansas City Royals, and Seattle Pilots. Ron Santo was clicking his heels after victories. Bert Campaneris had Campy on his jersey. Reggie had 29 home runs at the end of June. In the World Series, Tommy Agee had 2 great catches. Ron Swoboda, a great catch. Cleon Jones got on base hit by a pitch with shoe polish on the ball. And Cleon Jones made the last catch. MLB got his silhouetted batter as the new logo. Any thoughts on the 1969 World Series?
What they call them, the Miracle Mets?
Miracle Mets.
Yeah, yeah. You got to believe. Hey, man. That was something right there. And who was the manager? Was it Casey?
No, it was Gil Hodges.
Gil Hodges. Yeah. Wow, that's a blast from the past. Yeah.
Yeah, I could tell. My memory as a 13-year-old in 1973 is that people were rooting for the Mets because even though they were still New York, so it's like, you know, everyone acted like, oh, it's this. They made a big deal because they had been lousy. But anyway, in 73 they were kind of acting like, oh, hoping that they would do it again. But you guys stopped them. So the Oakland A's prevented the. Another Miracle Mets finish.
Yeah, they weren't as good as we were. Yeah. Only you, Peter, remembers who lost the World Series.
I remember, yeah, Yogi Berra, and there was some talk about putting Willie Mays in as a pinch hitter, but that didn't happen. We got some nice comments here from Joey, Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Talking about Brooks Robinson.
Joey's always here. Yeah.
Gene from Corvallis, Oregon. He's talking about the Cubs. Dave from Maricopa County talking about the A's. Let's see. We have time here for one of the great players from the 70s. What do you remember about Steve Foucault?
Jeez. I don't remember much. Wasn't he a left-handed pitcher?
I believe he was a pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember much about it. Yeah. Give me another one, Peter.
Willie Montanez.
Oh, Willie was clean. He could pick it at first base. Yeah, he was a fancy ball player. He had moves. You know, he was a very proud man, too. Yeah, good player. He had 40 home runs 1 year, didn't he?
Could be.
Yeah.
Our guest has been Mr. Bill North, the leadoff hitter and center fielder for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. The time has flown by, Bill. We've had a wonderful show. And do you have any final words tonight for our audience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember the North Legacy Project. That's my foundation. And you can go online and donate. We're trying to help these kids and with scholarships and mentoring and feeding some kids in grade school. And that's what we're trying to do. We're in reconstruction. We're going to add some more things too. So North Legacy Project.
Okay,
donate
very good.
Them, please. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
All right, thank you, Peter.
Oh, Bill, what a tremendous gift again having you on the show. And I tried to find out who got. There's no news about the Oakland A's Hall of Fame for next year, but it was supposed to be up, but they didn't. No news yet. But anyway, well, I'm grateful that we're having these shows every 2 weeks. I'm grateful to you. So that we can, you know, promote you guys, because you guys were the coolest team, and you were the center fielder, and you were stealing bases. So you guys were tremendous. So it's wonderful having you
Peter,
on. So you can, yeah.
I want you to tell Alice I said hi.
I'm going to do that.
Yep. My favorite fan.
Well, you're her favorite because you're a good man, and you have a good heart and a good sense of humor, and that's so important.
Yeah, God bless you and her.
Thanks, Bill. God bless you. Thanks so much. It's such a gift having you on every 2 weeks. It really is.
I appreciate you too, Peter. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Like Mark said, next week, my dear wife Alice, our fine son Tim, and I were going to go to Washington, D.C. for a few days to see the sites there. And we'll have no archive show. In 2 weeks, we'll have the leadoff hitter and center fielder for the coolest MLB team of all time, the Oakland A's from the early 1970s. Dear listener, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Good night, everybody. Thanks again so much, Mr. Bill North.
Thank you, Peter. Have a good trip.
Thank you so much.
All right.